Free Talk Live.
This is Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Find us Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on Rumble, Rockfin, and on my Twitter /X, Eastern Time. Share the links and join the conspiracy. Support freedom, one and all. A couple items here. The Idaho Supreme Court upheld a ban on using a student ID to vote. And that would be very cool if they would do that in New Hampshire. They allow students who are going to school here in New Hampshire, when they come from out of state, they can vote here in New Hampshire. And oftentimes they will double up in their other states through absentee ballot. Donald Trump. Yes, they'll do a mail-in, Donald. And let's see. There's also a story that the Federal Election Commission has records that show that President Biden used campaign donation funds to pay his legal fees. Anybody recall? Yes, Donald Trump was criticized for doing exactly the same thing. And Canadian taxpayers will pay $70,000 to fly a non-binary person, that would be a confused person, to Texas to get an experimental surgery that would give him a so-called vagina and leave his other organ intact because he claims that that is correct. It's a good thing the taxpayers get to pay for medical care, huh? And a new study shows that Paris now has more bicyclists than motorists. Also, that's just a brief little something or other. Also, yes, indeed, the U.S. government is moving forward. Today, there was one last chance to try to get that amendment in there for the FISA Act to have to have a warrant attached to it if they were going to surveil Americans. But it didn't make it. So for that, I want to turn to a little theme, one and all. So let's go for it, shall we? Where is it? Yes, I need it right now. Where is that theme? I want it. I want it. Here it is. All right. We need our under surveillance theme. It's going to be quick because I took so long to get to it. All right, John Lydon from the album Album. I like that one. And of course, we're going to be quick as promised. So we're going to fly through this briefly, but I do want to mention something where this is where I have, it's a point of, we have different points that we stress. I'll say it lightly like that, but it is something where I think that Thomas Massie is incomplete in many of the appearances he's made. I saw him a great interview with him on Redacted. It was a terrific interview. And he was also on with Eric Bolling. And so you'll see Eric Bolling over, where is he? Does he have his own thing now or is it on OAN? Here is what Thomas Massie said. I'll read it to you before I show you. He says, I spoke with Eric Bolling about a red flag in the FISA reauthorization bill. Now, there was one last chance to try to get an amendment put in there. Mike Lee mentioned this over the weekend. He says, it's not over yet. Monday's the day. It didn't work. It didn't work. Of course, it didn't work. I spoke with Eric Bolling about a red flag in the FISA reauthorization bill. The bill contains a carve out giving members of Congress special treatment if the FBI spies on them without a warrant. FISA must protect all Americans from warrantless searches, not just congressmen. So I want to give you what I said in response, because I thought it was worthwhile, and I respect Thomas Massie's attempts to try to rein in the government and stop the expansion. I said, I think your position is good, but incomplete, because the Fourth Amendment requirement of a public warrant is not set aside by an asterisk allowing for other government operations when targeting foreigners. It spells out what must be done as a function of the federal government or any subsidiary or semi-autonomous state, as those exist under the Constitution. Government on all levels has no power to spy on anyone without a public warrant, and that operational command is mechanistic, part of the supposed constitutional system, regardless of target. And that is unavoidable. It's absolutely true. It doesn't matter. They don't delineate or distinguish between, well, you can't spy on Americans without a warrant, but you can spy on foreigners without a warrant. No, it's the government shall not do this without this. It's very, very clear. So just wanted to bring this up. I thought it was worthwhile to talk about this. You know, it's valuable. And here's a little something of Thomas Massie on Newsmax. Here it is.
Is that clown, McCabe, got a gig at CNN.
Hold on a second. I've got to go back here. All right. Yeah, there we go.
Many Republicans and Democrats in Congress are pushing for more FISA surveillance. Hopefully Congress can reform this, but we know the FBI used FISA to try to illegally take down President Trump. Remember that? There was only one arrest, and that guy got away with a slap on the wrist. All the other participants of this coup have gone unpunished and were even given book deals or are on fake news networks like CNN and MSNBC. Beginning in 2016, Democrats began to perceive correctly that the U.S. security state are their allies. The deep state was in bed with the Democrats. It's where Russiagate came from. And then came Trump's presidency. The CIA, FBI, and Pentagon repeatedly thwarted Trump's policies, so they swooned even more. One of the very same people that weaponized the surveillance state is pushing for it yet again to fight domestic terrorists, whatever that is, at home.
Hamas, we know, has a president.
If you're just listening, that's Andrew McCabe. Yes, yes, indeed. Now, I don't see horns coming out of his head or a C for criminal emblazoned on his forehead, but you can imagine.
It's here in the United States. The idea that we would turn off the prime vision, the prime insight that we have into terrorists who are overseas, terrorists like Hamas terrorists, who may, in fact, be talking to people in the United States and planning activities here. We don't know that, but it's certainly a top priority for the FBI right now. The idea that we would turn off that flow of information, which is entirely lawful and has survived every court challenge, is just astounding to me.
Even more astounding is that clown, McCabe, got a gig at CNN. There's never an excuse to spy on innocent Americans, not even in the name of national security, because they'll abuse that. A decade ago, many people denounced mass warrantless NSA spying on Americans. Everyone should still be.
All right. So you understand he keeps repeating Americans, Americans, Americans. Now, let's get over to the appearance of Thomas Massie and see what Massie has to say, because this is a 6 minute long piece. Here we go. Check this out. Here we go.
That's got to be fixed. Look, we know about the abuses. In fact, they spied on a congressman in the Intel Committee. And that's why they actually created a carve out in this bill, Eric, for congressmen. This is incredible to me. This should be a giant red flag. If the members of the Intel Committee are so secure that they have fixed all of the problems with this bill and we don't need warrants, why did they carve out a provision for Congress that says if the FBI is going to spy on a congressman using the 702 program, they have to notify Congress first. And if they say they're doing it for the congressman's own good, they got to get the congressman's permission to spy on him using the 702 program, you know, the backdoor search where they search the existing database. That should be a big red flag. Rules for thee, not for me.
So yes, and you know what really gets me is, you know, Thomas Massie did a great job talking about going into the super secret special room and going under the cone of silence that the Speaker of the House, Johnson, said that he went in there and then he realized like, oh, well, yeah, the Fourth Amendment really should take a back seat to what I think are exigent circumstances and very important things that these spy guys tell us, right? Just ridiculous. And Thomas Massie, when he was chatting with Redacted, in fact, last night on Grand Theft World, they replayed the whole Redacted interview. It was terrific. I think almost all of it. Anyway, it was great. He said, yeah, you know, I've been in that room. I've heard from these people. You can't take a phone in. You can't take anybody else in. And they tell you all these scare stories. He says, you know, none of it panned out. I remembered the stuff. None of it was for real. He says, and of course, and if you got the opportunity to see, also, Grand Theft World showed some of the terrific interview between Kim Iverson and that young woman in Michigan who's been put together the documentary film on the suspects, most of whom clearly didn't even have any idea what was going on when they got roped into this trumped up FBI created so-called kidnapping plot to go after Gretchen Whitmer. I think she was aware of it. I think she knew exactly what was going on. I think she knew what it was all played up. They told her not to worry. We're going to do this thing. It's going to help you politically, that sort of stuff. That's what I think happened. There's a documentary on it. I got to see pieces of it online. It's out there. So check it out. I don't even remember what the name of it is. Maybe somebody in chat can mention, but I've seen her interviewed by other people who are, you know, sort of online chatting in the conspiracy, that sort of thing. Good folks on Rockfin have done chats with her and so on. And she's very cool. This woman, not Gretchen Whitmer, who put together this documentary, worked very hard to get a lot of those guys out of their legal predicaments. And yeah, the FBI literally, you know, went after a dude who was basically homeless and said, oh, yeah, you know, we'll give you this. They sent out one of their ringers and said, yeah, you know, come join us, that sort of thing. And dangled money in front of them, that sort of thing. So Massey's like, yeah, these things, they make you all afraid. Well, it doesn't even matter. Even if you were afraid, you'd have to say, well, I swore an oath to uphold the Constitution. We can't do this, even against foreigners. We can't do it against Americans. We have to amend the Constitution first. And the fact that they did this carve-out shows you just how willing they are to slice up their constitutional oaths to say, well, it applies here, but it doesn't apply here. Well, it applies here, it doesn't apply here. It's the same mentality where they give themselves a carve-out, and then they carve out certain things, and they pretend that the Fourth Amendment only applies to government spying on Americans when it is a general prohibition, and it instructs the government on the only way it can get information or gather materials that it wants. It has to get a public warrant issued by a judge. Now, I personally don't want to have to pay for that. I don't want to force my neighbor to pay for that, but that is the way that they say it's supposed to operate under the U.S. Constitution. Yep. And of course, it was all theater. Thomas Massey, at least he's been a good critic of this. And hats off to him for that part. I would hope that he opens it up to say, you know what? The whole idea of the government spying on foreigners is also unconstitutional. Quick roundup of a couple other stories, everybody. And this one is interesting. Took a screen cap of this from the folks at Redacted a little bit earlier. You might have seen this earlier. I retweeted. No, I didn't retweet this one because I wasn't sure exactly what they were looking at here. And it's still sort of uncertain. The FBI is opening up an investigation after, don't forget, the president of the United States, 2 hours after the event, said that they had ruled out any idea of foul play, any idea of terrorism in the Key Bridge collision and collapse. Well, the FBI, according to an FBI spokesperson, is aboard the cargo ship Dolly, conducting court-authorized law enforcement activity. They've opened up an investigation, and they're offering no other public information. They say there is no other public information available, and we will have no further comment. You mean you are not making any information further available, despite the fact that you're forcing me to pay for it? I appreciate that, Federal Bureau of Investigation. That's very nice of you. So what I wondered was whether they're looking into some sort of felony charge against the drivers or it is a sort of terrorist thing. But don't forget, the president of the United States made his claim 2 hours after the accident, if it was an accident, and they didn't have anybody there from the federal investigation side until 2 days afterwards. So this, again, is another thing that belies the president's claim. Also, a quick update about what's going on in Brazil. Jeffrey Tucker writes this. Maybe it's a little bit Panglossian, which is rose-colored glasses, but he writes this. He is, of course, the founder and head of the Brownstone Institute, formerly of the American Institute for Economic Research, and one of the people behind the Great Barrington Declaration. He writes, "My friends in Brazil tell me that everything has changed practically overnight, thanks to the work of many on the ground. Elon Musk's morally courageous decision not to comply has emboldened the resistance there, and many egregious censorship attempts have been suddenly rolled back. There is a real atmosphere of change so that the bad guys are on the run. I hope this is true. And if so, it should tell us something about the impact of individuals who stand up to power with a principled opposition. It is essential for preserving and restoring rights and liberties. Well, they're going to have to change things in the Brazilian legislature. There are some number of people who are standing up for free speech, but they didn't stand up for free speech when Rumble was threatened and they didn't go into Brazil to do business. And I'm wondering, you know, I was wondering what Glenn Greenwald was going to do. Over the weekend, I saw that Michael Schellenberger said that the judge whom he had criticized and cited as trying to shut down speech on Facebook and so on, that he was looking to get Schellenberger arrested while Schellenberger was in Brazil. And he's like, I'm heading to the airport now. I hope I can make it out. I haven't seen whether he made it out yet. I haven't been able to check his X feed. I figure he probably did. Otherwise, I would have heard about it. So I don't know. Jeffrey Tucker seems to be pretty hopeful about that. So we'll see. We'll see. And finally, I want to give you this one in the news flash. If you get a chance, you'll want to check this out. I got to see a little bit of the report on this on Friday and got to see a little bit of the document on it. I was going to mention it on the show Friday. And in fact, over at Redacted, Natalie Morris, the wife and co-host with Clayton Morris of Redacted, Monday through Thursday, 4 p.m. on Rumble. That's where you'll see the entire show, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Rumble, Monday through Thursday for Redacted. Natalie Morris said it was a 120-page document. And if you're just listening, about what am I discussing or about what am I talking, it's what's called the Cass Review. It's a doctor, a pediatrician named Hillary Cass, who basically took it on herself to come up with a real thorough study on the so-called services that the Tavistock Institute was involved with, that the National Health Service was involved with on the psychiatric side and on the medical mutilation side of giving so-called gender identity services to children. There is some pretty nasty stuff that she covers and shows that none of this stuff was helpful. None of it helped kids, and most of it was negative, including some of the so-called support that they would give to kids. That it just screwed them up even further, messed them up even more. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit more if I get the opportunity. Just want to mention something real quick here. In fact, let me see if I can turn to Rumble, because I think over at Redacted, they had a pretty good comment from their producer. Here it is. Again, it's the Cass, Hillary Cass study, 120 pages. And good for Natalie Morris to go through the whole thing over the weekend. Let me see if I can find this here for you. Yeah, it looks like they've ended it. So I'll see if I can find this on their site. Let me see here. Yeah, it looks like I'll have to redo this CPU running on empty, as they say. So yeah, her producer David, one of their two producers, David, mentioned that he was watching a YouTube video recently about a young woman who went into a Planned Parenthood facility and got so-called help almost immediately. So let me see if I can show that to you here. I'll see if I can find it. I think this is it. I think, let me see here. No, I'll see if I can play it for you tomorrow. Let me just double check here. Yeah.
It's cruel. I mean, you can laugh about it, right? But that's cruel to send away a boy.
It is cruel.
And with painful erections that they did not.
Yeah, there's some nasty stuff coming.
And you're talking about the physical things, but they're not even talking about like what an instant supply of testosterone is going to do to a girl that's never had testosterone.
Yeah.
It's not something your body's just going to be like, oh, this is just a little different. No, that changes everything about the way you think. And I mean,
this is interesting that I had never thought of before. The Cass Review says that it takes these young girls and it makes them more sexually aggressive than they may have otherwise been. And so they don't know what their sexuality would have been if they hadn't had this perversion of hormones in them. So you can't say that you didn't change their sexuality. So you may have taken a girl who would have been either heterosexual or a lesbian and completely changed how they now see themselves. But not only that, then they're sterile. So they feel this sort of sexual aggression, but they can't achieve orgasm. So that they're always going to be hyped up and frustrated. And that also to me sounds cruel. I mean, we can make lots.
It's so sad and disgusting and troubling. It's really bad. Let me see if I can find this section here where David steps in and mentions something. Yes, I think I found it. Let me just double check here. I'm sort of going, I wish that Rumble hadn't recirculated on my
Bud right now.
Driver.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a person that's a detransitioner that I've watched on YouTube, and she said she walked into Planned Parenthood, got a prescription for testosterone that day. Said they didn't even take her back and ask her any questions or anything. They're just like, here you go, here's your prescription, and she went on it thinking it was right, and now she still has a man's voice, and she's like that for the rest of her life, and is just pissed off about it and trying to tell kids not to do.
How old was she?
12.
Yeah. 12 years old. Unbelievable. There's plenty more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, the creator of the Liberty Conspiracy, which can be seen and heard every Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Rumble, Rockfin, and on my Twitter/X feed, that being at Gard Goldsmith. That's G-A-R-D Goldsmith. If you're interested in finding more information that I might be able to provide to you, then check out my Substack, that being the Gardner Goldsmith Substack. And you'll find that every Sunday we provide what's called the Sunday News Assembly. The News Assembly contains at least 20 stories pertaining to Liberty, plus contextual information that will help draw out of those breaking stories longer-term intellectual ammunition to help defend and expand the purview of freedom. Thanks so much for listening. Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency made for spending. You can pay your bills with Dash at spritz.finance. Plus, they can send dollars to your bank if you still need those for something. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at dash.org. That's dash.org.
Protection. Eleutheromania, the insatiable desire for freedom.
Filibuster, holy stink.
It's the new three-song heavy metal EP from Captain Kickass. Available now on your favorite music app or get it directly from CaptainKickass.com.
Welcome to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, the creator of the Liberty Conspiracy, which can be streamed visually and audibly on Rumble and Rockfin and on my Twitter feed starting at 6 o'clock every Monday through Friday evening. We'll welcome you into the chat and take your comments live or after the fact. Please join us. And of course, if you're wondering about my Twitter feed, it's at Gard Goldsmith. That's G-A-R-D Goldsmith. You can also check out my Substack. We're going to do some war coverage, one and all. So for that, we're going to turn not to Time Zone from World Destruction, but instead, I was in a real Killing Joke mood, so we need to hear that cough from War Dance.
Oh,
Oh, yes, indeed. A classic image. Killing Joke. This is actually a superimposition. Music for pleasure is not music no more. Music to dance to, music to move. This is music to march to. Do the war dance. Now, I want to lay this out in a way that I think makes some sense to me. You let me know if you think this makes some sense to you. This, I think, exposes the hypocrisy of politicians in the United States and in Britain when we look at Iran's response to the destruction of the Israeli destruction of the Iranian embassy in Damascus. Now, it's not just missiles, actually drones. What's very interesting is I think the best overview that I got of that came from Scott Ritter when he was speaking with George Galloway. And that George Galloway portion sort of actually opens up a number of different colors on the palette. But the hypocrisy, double standards, and I think continuation of the say one thing, do another thing, and give cover to the Israelis, I think that's really coming in now. So let me give you this. This is a quick snapshot. We'll go into the stories a little more in a minute. Biden tells Netanyahu, they say to us, they tell us that Biden told Netanyahu that the U.S. won't support any attack on Iran. Okay, that from Dave DeCamp yesterday. Well, what's the first thing? I responded in a couple ways to a couple people on X about this. It doesn't matter what Biden says, and we don't even know if he really said that, right? First, we don't know if he said it. Second, so it could just be cover for him politically here, right? But second, even if he did say that, United States policy is that they want to give them more weapons anyway. So they're not going to stop giving the weapons, just like they've been doing since October 8th. They say one thing and do another thing. They say, oh, man, you know, we have expectations about how you're going to use these weapons to kill people. So you can't kill indiscriminately. And we just, you know, we have expectations about this when we give you all the weapons you use to kill people. So, you know, you better. And they don't conform. They kill more innocent people, drive them out of their homes, turn them to powder, all that sort of stuff. Right. Shoot people at food trucks, drone strike the food caravan, shoot them at UN food tents, all that stuff, right? Errantly accuse UN food workers of being involved with the October 7th attack when they have no evidence to actually show any of that stuff. All these things, just lie after lie after lie, right? Absolutely ridiculous. Then they tell us, well, now we're expecting that the United States is not going to support any attack by Israel against Iran. But if you just go past this headline to another quick headline from anti-war, what's this? Speaker Johnson says the House will vote on more Israel aid this week. That was a story from yesterday as well. So how are they going to stop Iran from Israel from attacking Iran? They won't. It's all a smokescreen. It's all just empty rhetoric. It doesn't make a difference at all. None of it makes a difference. Now, to talk about hypocrisy, let's look at David Cameron, the former prime minister, now the foreign secretary under Rishi Sunak, and listen to how he got caught up on Sky News as he was boastfully saying that this is exactly what Israel needs to do. They have every right to go back after Iran after this terrible strike. Really? Really? Oh, that's interesting. Are you mentioning what the Israelis did in Damascus? No. Well, this reporter from Sky News actually did a pretty good job. Check it out.
The whole world can see all these countries that have somehow wondered, well, you know, what is the true nature of Iran? It's there in black and white.
What would Britain do if a hostile nation flattened one of our consulates?
Well, we would take, we would take the very strong action.
classic. He's just deer caught in the headlights. Look at that guy. Oh, well, I'm pretending I'm not even listening to what I'm saying. I'm just offering something so I can get out of here now. I'm not here. This didn't happen. I don't even exist. Ah, well, we're done now, right? Now let's go to some of the RT coverage of this to talk a little bit more about hypocrisy and lying. Here's a little bit of the Iran Strikes Back, not George Lucas production, but watch for the ending of this because it's classic. I was watching live and I paused Rumble, like Saturday night, I paused Rumble and scrolled back so I could record it. Check this out. This is classic.
And after Iran hit Israel, the IDF posted a video on social media, that one right there, which is actually a fake. It's in fact footage from 2017. It's showing a Russian Grad rocket system. And the logo of another channel had even been blurred out in the footage. Though the Israeli War Cabinet Minister Benny Gantz praised the Israeli armed forces for repelling the attack, though he says the incident is far from over.
Oh, I see. So can you trust anything that you're getting from those people? No, of course you cannot trust anything that you're getting from those people. Now let's see George Galloway, as George Galloway did an excellent job nailing Rishi Sunak. And this was reposted by none other than the great Gerald Celente. George Galloway now back in Parliament as he just nails Rishi Sunak for his towering hypocrisy.
So, Speaker, I knew your father well for a very long time. He was a fine man, and I am sincerely sorry.
That's a separate topic. Someone inside Parliament lost a loved one, his father. So here we go. Now he's going to get right to the point about the Iranian response. And then we'll talk about, you know, expectations or predictions that any of you might have, or, you know, any sort of speculation. I've got a few thoughts on this. I'll offer those up, and you can tell me if you think maybe that is valid or kind of off base if I'm missing something. So here's George.
For your loss, there was not one single word in the Prime Minister's statement of condemnation of the Israeli destruction of the Iranian consulate in Damascus, which is the proximate reason for the event everyone is here in concert condemning. He was not even asked to do so by the front bench opposite. Kay Burley is the only person so far to demand that of a government minister. We have no treaty with Israel, at least not one that Parliament has been shown. And the Iranians are not likely to listen to him. When Britain occupied Iran, looted its wealth, and overthrew its one democratic socialist government in my own lifetime.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Absolutely right. And Rishi Sunak just looked like a puppet, of course. So there's more. So let's get to antiwar.com to give you some of the more details on the printed side of things. There are a number of stories, including Israel and Ukraine information. And, you know, with the two big kinetic things going on, I sometimes put them together. Sometimes they go separate. So most of this is going to be about the Israeli-Iran thing. First, I want to show you, again, that headline that we mentioned, that Biden tells Netanyahu U.S. won't support attack on Iran. Well, they are going to support attack on Iran, and it doesn't matter what he says because they're going to send more money to him this week. You know it's going to pass, and that's, you know, very clear that that is what they want to do. Now, I'll go into my speculation about it in just a minute. And of course, you also see the headline there. Johnson says in blue, Johnson says House will vote on more Israel aid this week. And Israel's defense against Iran cost over $1 billion. That was supplied by us. Now, we've got some details coming from Scott Ritter about the way Iran went about its attack to essentially send a message and show what they can do. And I'm not all jazzed up and excited about the battles or the technology or anything like that. But here is another very important item. This one from yesterday by Dave. That's three pieces that he released in a day. That's amazing. Again, he did it last week. I think he might have done even more than that. UN says there is no improvement in aid access in northern Gaza. A UN official overseeing relief efforts in Gaza. Now, remember, folks, supposedly Israel was going to allow people to go back in there, right? Well, guess what? They're starving there. A UN official overseeing that going to allow residents to go back in there, to move back north when they told them to go south, because now they're, you know, cleaning out the south. Wiping life out of there. A UN official overseeing relief efforts in Gaza said aid access has not improved in the northern part of the strip and pushed back on Israel's claims that the UN was to blame for the difficulty in distributing the aid. Jamie McGoldrick, a UN humanitarian coordinator, said the responsibility for the occupying power when it comes to providing humanitarian assistance for starving Palestinians, quote, only ends when aid reaches the civilians in Gaza. McGoldrick said, it's very easy for Israel to say, we've sent you 1,000 trucks, so please deliver them inside Gaza. He said distribution inside Gaza was difficult due to the security vacuum and delays due to Israeli checkpoints. Aid workers have also been frequently targeted by Israeli workers, as 177 employees of the UN's Palestinian Relief Agency, UNRWA, have been killed since October 7th. The killing of seven workers for the World Central Kitchen grabbed the world's attention since six of them were from Western countries. In the latest incident, UNICEF workers reported that a vehicle they were traveling in was hit by Israeli gunfire. Luckily, no one was hurt. McGoldrick made the comments on Friday, the same day Israel announced it started letting aid into northern Gaza through a new border crossing. Israel initially said it would open the Erez border crossing to allow trucks into the northern part of the strip, but it opened a crossing in a different location, which it didn't specify. The Israeli military also declined to say how many trucks have been allowed in through the new crossing, so it's unclear if it will make an impact. Samantha Power, don't forget, everybody, even though Lloyd Austin said he had seen no evidence of genocide, Samantha Power admits that she believes famine is occurring in parts of northern Gaza, and that comports with statements of intent from the head of the IDF and from people inside the Knesset. So they have openly stated in the government of Israel their intent to starve people, their intent to sweep them off the land. And this that she is saying is testimony to the result of their policy. She is, of course, head of the USAID. She's not the best character herself, but I think it's valuable to note that. Now, let's go into the Ukraine-Russia stuff. And there's an interesting facet to this that has to do with journalism and the way things are depicted, but not here at the Libertarian Institute, where they do a good job. The first part of the story is about U.S. officials and the Ukraine-Russia war. Of course, the proxy war with the United States and NATO fighting Russia in a nation state where the government has done the bidding of the United States there since late 2013 into 2014. Essentially 2014, between December and January 2013, the end of December was the transition period when they cobbled together their new government with Nazis helping out. And Jeffrey Pyatt and Victoria Nuland had their infamous conversation about working with people like Tiani Bach and then putting in Yatsenyuk. So with that stated, of course, tens of thousands of people in the Donbass region were either threatened or killed by the anti-Russian forces coming from Kiev. But this is a very interesting story from Kyle Anzalone, and I'll show you, guess who's involved with this? Check it out. U.S. officials say new Russian Arctic pipeline is dead in the water. Oh, gee, sort of like other pipelines we might know. A top U.S. official declared that Washington is using economic warfare to prevent Russia from completing a new liquefied natural gas pipeline in the Arctic. Officials in Washington threatened the Nord Stream pipelines before, I know, shocker, they just blew up themselves. Happens all the time, like in Repo Man. People just explode. before explosions destroyed three or four pipelines that transit energy from Russia to Germany. I'm sure the German people enjoyed that when they saw their energy prices skyrocket. We'll talk about skyrocketing prices coming up soon for that big piece from MRC TV. I hope you like it. I hope you find it worthwhile, too. On Monday, U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for Energy Resources, that's his new post, Jeffrey Pyatt. Wait a minute. Jeff is back. After his wonderful F the EU phone calls with Victoria Nuland, where they got caught talking about whom they were going to put in charge of the government after the U.S., NATO, and Soros-sponsored coup, the Maidan coup. Well, he's back. Guess who's back? Pyatt's back. Yeah, he's the real Slim Shady. Jeffrey Pyatt explained that the U.S. had sanctioned Moscow in an effort to prevent the completion of a Russian pipeline in the Arctic, a project dubbed LNG2. Gee, it would be really bad if we could get any more liquid natural gas flowing around the world to help people. Yeah, we should just leave it all on the ground. Yeah, he says our role is to ensure Arctic LNG is dead in the water, he said. Sort of like when Victoria Nuland said that I'm sure people, some certain politicians would be happy because Nord Stream is now a pile of metal at the bottom of the ocean. Yeah, Pyatt said we're very focused on ensuring that Russia is not able to develop new projects in order to redestine the gas that they redestinate the gas that they previously sent to Europe. You know, after they destroyed the one pipeline, now they don't want to be able to. And this, as I mentioned, this is what it's all been about, to isolate Russian energy exports. I started talking about this when they started to overthrow Syria because they tried to get a pipeline. The Russians and the Syrians were working together on that for a long time. That's why they wanted to overthrow Assad. That's why they wanted to isolate Russia from Crimea. That's why Putin had to go into Crimea, in addition to all the slaughter of the ethnic Russians there that was going on for years. But in 2014, in March of 2014, that is when Barack Obama started up the Russia is going to be our big, big scapegoat from that point on. It really started then. He issued an executive order all about that, saying, oh, there's a danger. Russia is a danger. Oh, okay, fine. Meanwhile, what are they doing? They're pushing Russia. They're going against the Minsk agreement from 1995 with James Baker. They're expanding into the Iron Curtain nations that they promised that they would not expand into, all of those things. And of course, they overthrow Ukraine in 2013 and put a new government in 2014. It's very clear what they were doing. He says our role is to ensure Arctic LNG is dead in the water. It won't develop new projects to get their gas from where they were going to send it to Europe. It says, while the White House says its crusade to slash Russian energy exports is intended to help Ukraine maintain high demand for American LNG exports, maintaining high demand for American LNG exports has become a major political issue in Washington. So they're also doing it to favor American LNG interests. No kidding. And of course, back when they were trying to block the pipeline from Russia through Syria into Europe, they were doing that partially on the behest of the Arab states, Saudi Arabia, UAE, things like that. Now, don't forget, the United States is also contemplating giving Ukraine money that they're going to seize or have already seized $100 billion worth from Russian so-called oligarchs and Russian business people. They have already prevented people in Hungary, at banks in Hungary, from being able to do business with Russians. They're sanctioning those specific banks. They have no constitutional power to do it. They have no moral power to do it. There's no trial. There's no accusation of wrongdoing. Well, guess what? It is inspiring. Russia is retaliating. Here's the story. Russian seizure of Western farmlands raises concerns in Italy. Check it out. Russian President Vladimir Putin has once again sparked concern in the West. This coming from Dagens News. Has once again sparked concern in the West with a recent decree that has significantly altered the control of agricultural lands in Russia. Well, they must be initiating the aggression, right? Just like Iran, right? Don't forget the history. I mean, don't remember the history. According to Italian journalist Giorgia Bonomonita and a report by the Money publication, Western publication owned by one of the big conglomerates, the Russian government has temporarily seized assets from several Western companies, marking another tense chapter in Russia-Western relations. The decree from Putin specifically targets AgroTerra, a company controlling about 265,000 hectares of agricultural land across regions like Kursk, Lipetsk, Penza, Ryazan, Tambov, and Tula. AgroTerra, although operational in Russia, is owned by entities based in the Netherlands. Yes, the Netherlands, of course. So when the Netherlands isn't seizing property, they get very upset that the Russians are going to seize property. Oh, there's a bit of hypocrisy there, isn't it? Remember the Netherlands going after all the farmers, saying they had to slaughter cattle like in Ireland? What was it, 300,000 heads in Ireland? Yeah. Interesting. This move is seen as part of a broader Russian strategy to retaliate against Western sanctions and threats to confiscate frozen assets of the Russian central bank. The reaction in the West has, of course, been one of alarm and massive hypocrisy, with concerns that this action might not be an isolated incident. Observers worry about the potential repercussions beyond Russia's borders. Oh, you don't like it then, huh? Gee whiz, how strange. How strange. Giorgia Bonomonetta, the journalist, reports that Western companies have already faced significant financial losses due to their withdrawal from the Russian market. Well, they were told to withdraw from the Russian market in many cases because they're not going to get financial help from Western banks connected to the Federal Reserve. But, you know, that's just part of it. And talk about this land seizure. Before I show you the, we'll sort of round things off with the Scott Ritter stuff on the Iran stuff, sort of round off the show. But I want to turn to that big piece that I put together for MRC TV. Because when we're talking about the Russians confiscating 200,000 hectares of agricultural land, according to this report, and of course, you know, not really going into the details of how much money the United States has already taken from so-called Russian oligarchs, the United States taking yachts, people like Liz Warren praising that, thinking it. There's a lot more coming up with Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar? You can live your life on Dash instead with some handy websites. Bitrefill.com has been accepting Dash for years and has a ton of big-name retailers and brands, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Plus, many of their gift cards are available at a discount. But what about paying your bills? Spritz.finance can do that, and they can send dollars to your bank account in case you still need those for some reason. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
We return with Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. And welcome you. Remember, if you get the chance, please share the links at any time, especially when we're going live on Rumble. That's a really, really great thing. Really greatly appreciate it. And of course, after the fact, share segments, share the whole show, anything you want to share. I really, really dig it. Thank you so much, everybody. All right, let's get into it, one and all. You know what it's time for us to do? It's time for us to go, of course, into the news flash from the people who bring us the flashlight. Flashlight.
world can see all these countries that have somehow wondered, well, you know, what is the true nature of Iran? It's there in black and white.
What would Britain do if a hostile nation flattened one of our consulates?
Well, we would take, you know, we would take the very strong action.
Yes? Oh, hello. Hello. We're Mary's parents.
Oh, well, come on in, fellas.
Hold it a second. Mary's parents burned to death last year.
Got that right.
Wait a minute. I know you guys. You're from the News Flash.
What's on tap first, my friends? Well, first I have to mention I had to replay that David Cameron thing because it's just so ridiculous. And it goes by rather quickly. I realized that last night. Unless you see the larger context, you might not quite grasp what they're saying until maybe a half a second or a millisecond after it goes by. But basically, the ITV reporter asked the now foreign secretary, former PM of the UK, David Cameron. He says, well, yes, of course. Here, we'll play it for you again. He says, yes, of course. Israel has a right to defend itself. Bye-bye, Jojo. Pip-pip, bully-bully, and other British terms. Yes, yes, yes. Does anyone have any marmite? Yes, indeed. Well, she said, she comes back to him and says, oh, so, because he doesn't talk about the fact that the Israelis destroyed the Iranian embassy and killed seven people in that. In Syria. So he's just looking at it as if this evil, awful Iranian government is attacking Iran, and Iran, I mean, is attacking Israel, and I'm fully behind Israel. So she says, oh, and he's like, they shouldn't be doing that. This is totally illegitimate what Iran is doing. She says, whoa, what would you do if foreign agents had attacked and destroyed the British embassy somewhere? And he goes, well, let's check that out again before we go on. It's just beautiful. It's so great. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. There we go. All right.
The whole world can see all these countries that have somehow wondered, well, you know, what is the true nature of Iran? It's there in black and white.
What would Britain do if a hostile nation flattened one of our consulates?
Well, we would take, you know, we would take the very strong action.
That's the best. It's just the perfect example of the stuffed shirt that they mock so well in England, and it's just great. You know, like on Spitting Image with the puppets, except as David Knight points out, they don't really mock the Chinese leadership all that much, but Spitting Image is pretty darn funny. I met one of the guys who did some of the voices for Spitting Image. Very funny stuff. All right, everybody, let's get right to it. It's News Flash time. And for the News Flash, it's the Assange update. So we're going to go with our free speech theme, or at least one of them right now, the Psychedelic Furs with Entertain Me. Man, this is a good album. So good. The drumming by Vince Ely. That guy is a talented dude. So, of course, the opening lines of this are what are pertinent. So the rest of the song is from the perspective of a musician who just can't understand why people have to live vicariously through him. But it's about speak. Talk to me.
Speak. Talk to me. Show what I am.
Oh, yes, indeed. We'll see at the end of the week how the wonderful Speaker of the House is all set for another breach of the Constitution to put to a vote another attempt to ban TikTok. We'll talk about that in a little while. First, let's give you the update about Assange. Okay, Free Assange. You can follow them at Free Assange News on X. Breaking. The United States has issued a non-assurance in relation to the First Amendment and a standard assurance in relation to the death penalty. It makes no undertaking to withdraw the prosecution's previous assertion that Julian Assange has no First Amendment rights because he is not a U.S. citizen. In other words, they will prosecute him. They will prosecute him. Instead, the U.S. has limited itself to blatant weasel words, claiming that Julian can, quote, seek to raise the First Amendment if extradited. No assurances. So there's more. The diplomatic note to the ICJ, Royal Court, the High Court in London, the diplomatic note does nothing to relieve our family's extreme distress about his future, his grim expectation of spending the rest of his life in isolation in U.S. prison for publishing award-winning journalism. The Biden administration must drop this dangerous prosecution before it is too late. He is dying in prison. He is going through so much. Julian Assange. So they will not give assurances, as the High Court had asked. Can you give assurances that he will be protected by the First Amendment? And the United States, as we often see for so many rhinos and Dems, and even some American so-called constitutionalists, they don't understand that it is a universal prohibition in the First Amendment against Congress writing any law. And it doesn't matter whether they write a law that says it's okay for us to go after people who are reporting from other countries. They can't write that kind of law either, just like I discussed last night when it comes to the Fourth Amendment. There's not an exception for the operational structure of the United States government that is laid out in the system. It is supposed to be that it can only, all forms of government on the Fourth Amendment side can only try to ascertain information from people through searches or try to seize their property if they have a warrant. And it doesn't matter whether they're foreigners or not. So this is not good. Stella Assange, of course, very concerned, because the idea that he can seek to raise the First Amendment if he's extradited is not in any way an assurance that he actually can do that in his own defense. They could block him from even using the First Amendment as a defense. A journalist. They're literally saying, no, we can breach the Constitution anytime and claim that the Espionage Act applies to any journalist out there if a person wants to take it away from this poor Julian Assange being persecuted this way and universalize it into other people. Maybe some of these more selfish people at CNN might realize, oh, this could apply to me too, right? It's incredible. If they can say that it doesn't apply to a foreigner, they can also say it doesn't apply to an American, because it's not specified that Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech of only Americans. Just like the Fourth Amendment doesn't say that it only applies to Americans. It's just absurd. By the way, let me know if you get any audio, everybody. All right. Oh, yes. Nancy Chambers says no sound, guard. Thank you so much, Nancy. I appreciate it. So we'll get to that and take care of that. I wondered if that was the case. So going to hop in here and take care of that for you. No problem. In fact, let me do this and go over here. And interesting. It's, well, anyway, what can you do? Just redo it and give it a shot. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Yep. There we go. And there it is. Okay. Good. All right. Good. So we're all set there. Sorry you missed that theme. And you missed the glorious stuff of David Cameron. So, well, I'll just leave it to that. Maybe we'll get back to that later on. But you saw my encapsulation of it. So hopefully that's okay. All right. Now, let's get into a little bit more coverage right now on my schedule. What do we have? Oh, yes. All right. Now I want to show you one other part of the Assange thing, and it is this. I was going to ask that right off the bat, too. Anyway, here it is. This is from Taylor Hudak. She says the CIA director Burns has filed to invoke state secrets privilege in the case brought against the CIA for unlawfully spying on American citizens, including journalists and lawyers who visited Mr. Assange in the Ecuadorian embassy in England. Yeah. So literally they're saying we can spy on you, but you can't find out anything about us because we can decide. And it's state secrets. That's what they're saying. Here's a copy going over to the PDF, unclassified announcement from the Central Intelligence Agency, Mike Pompeo, and so on. Here it is. I am the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. In my capacity as director, I lead the CIA and manage human intelligence. I have held this office since March 23rd, 2021, and so on and so on. And he says that they will not allow for certain information to come out. Like, you know, the fact that the CIA was already spying on Julian Assange, contrary to the Fourth Amendment, which it has no power to spy on people. And I'm glad my old roommate, Sean Naylor, is one of the reporters who uncovered that. Thanks, Sean. I don't know if you're listening, but I appreciate it. And Nancy, thank you. Thank you, Anarchy Andrew, for doing what you're doing as well. And all the folks in there who were telling me, I really appreciate that. Man, frustrating. Okay, so let's get to the next big story, everybody. And now this actually is the perfect transition for us. It's time for us to talk about the war. Yes. All right, my friends. Well, we go from Julian Assange's predicament and more revelations just based on the actions of the CIA that tell us so much about the CIA's massive hypocrisy about you have no privacy, but we got plenty of privacy. Let's head over to antiwar.com. Israel has destroyed nearly all buildings in the Gaza buffer zone. Yeah, you know, because it's for the protection of the innocent, right? Israel, according to Dave DeCamp, Israel has destroyed nearly every building in Gaza along the strip's border with Israel to create a so-called buffer zone. Yeah, so yeah, think about that. You know, if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, we're going to destroy your house. We're an occupying entity, and we're going to destroy your house now because we're going to create what we want, and it's called a buffer zone. We're going to destroy your home. And if you don't get out of it, we'll kill you too. A report from the United Nations Satellite Center found that Israel has destroyed or damaged 90% of the buildings in Gaza within 1 kilometer of the border as of February 29th. It found that 3,033 buildings were completely demolished, 327 were seriously damaged, and 266 were moderately damaged. Oh, boy. According to Haaretz, the real number of demolished buildings is likely higher since Israeli forces are actually creating the buffer zone 1,200 meters within Gaza, 200 meters further inside the strip than what the UN examined. According to an analysis from Adi Ben-Nun, a Hebrew University geography professor, Israel's buffer zone will take 16% of Gaza's territory. Unbelievable. They're just going to take, just going to keep taking it. That's awesome. They're just continually doing whatever they want and coming up with any argument that they want to, right? They'll say anything. They'll do anything. And by the way, let's look at what the United States was doing over the weekend as Iran retaliated to the murder of some of its diplomats in Syria and the destruction of its embassy in Syria. And here is Reason Magazine's reporting on this. This weekend's air raids in the Middle East set a lot of records. Iran carried out its first ever direct attack on Israel from Iranian territory, launching an unprecedentedly large swarm of drones and missiles against Israeli military bases. And of course, the way that they did that showed great finesse and a lot of strategic knowledge, and they pulled it off tactically. And for the first time in U.S. history, U.S. troops engaged in direct combat in defense of Israeli territory. Do you remember when they declared that war and they said, hey, U.S. troops, get on in there? It's not America being attacked, but oh, they didn't even declare war. Well, curious. Should have expected this. I should have thought it through. The U.S. military shot down 3 Iranian ballistic missiles and 70 drones that were en route to Israeli military bases, officials told CNN. American ships and fighter jets were involved in the operation. Again, American ships and fighter jets were involved in the operation. No kidding. I should have thought that through. Videos shared online, because, of course, the Israelis could fund their own weapons. They could have their own military. And someone brought up a very good point about that that we'll discuss in a little while. But they don't do that. No, it's got to be the United States and partially England and Germany supplying the weapons. Videos shared online also purport to show U.S. ground troops in Iraqi Kurdistan firing anti-aircraft missiles. The British and French militaries assisted in the operation, and Jordan reportedly shot down Iranian drones over its own airspace. I remember that was one of the first reports there. Oh, my. There's more. There's more. Early in the war, Biden showed that he was willing to put American lives on the line in Israel's defense, even though his administration insisted that it had, quote, no plans or intentions to put U.S. boots on the ground in combat. Biden deployed 2 aircraft carriers to the region as a threat to any other country that might join the war against Israel. From Israeli leaders' perspective, the consulate attack was a win-win situation. Either Tehran would not retaliate, making Iranian leaders look weak, or it would retaliate, forcing Biden to make good on his commitments and bring U.S. power to bear against Iran. Left out of the conversation entirely were the American people. Congress has not passed a declaration of war against Iran or authorization for the use of military force against Iranian troops. Well, they have no power to issue an authorization for the use of military force. They can either declare war or issue letters of mark and reprisal against non-state combatants. It hasn't even passed the supplemental aid package to Israel that Biden has been asking for. So I thought you might be interested in seeing that information. And of course, on that subject of United States troops, kind of on that subject, well, John Kirby has you covered. Check this out.
If the U.S. can and allies can help shoot down Iranian drones over Israel, why can't they do the same over Ukraine?
Yeah, I knew this question was coming too. Look, different conflicts. Different conflicts.
Look, we're not going to talk about it. I'll come up with an answer. Oh, different subjects. Not going to talk about your subject. Different. Okay, answer. Okay, thanks. Let's move on. Lunchtime yet? Okay.
Different airspace, different threat picture.
I see. Okay. Different airspace. Remember that now. Ukraine is not Israel. Don't forget, everybody, though, as Biden already admitted that the 101st Airborne had been on the ground in Ukraine when he met with them as a surprise in Poland. He already admitted it. We know the CIA trained a lot of those people there for years in Ukraine. Like, I don't want to be here now. This is an uncomfortable question. Well, guess what? Guess who might not be Speaker of the House much longer unless he relies on Democrats, which I think we pretty much expected a rhino would. That would be Speaker Mike Johnson. And the New Hampshire Libertarian Party, LPNH, in fact, I'll show you, just move this down a little bit, LPNH, at LPNH on Twitter/X. The LPNH offered some good stuff. Speaker Mike Johnson, in his incredibly arrogant way, said, I've just spoken with at House GOP conference on my plan to to address national security supplemental legislation on the growing security crises. I know you're probably asking, you mean the Social Security crisis because it's a Ponzi scheme? No, no. You mean the security at the border stuff that so many people are talking about, even though it's not supposed to be a front? No, no, not that. No. You mean my bank account and the security that I'll be able to buy groceries in a few weeks? No, no, no. More spending. Need more spending. But here is what the New Hampshire Libertarian Party had to say. He says about this security crisis, and I think we know. He means Ukraine and Israel, right? Of course he does. This week, we will consider separate bills with a structured and germane amendment process to, one, fund our ally Israel. And so the New Hampshire Libertarian Party says, not America. Two, support Ukraine in its war against Russian aggression, says LPNH. Also, not America. Then he says, the speaker, strengthen our allies in the Indo-Pacific. Yes, you know how they've been opening new bases. Even in Australia, they're going to be building stuff and shuttling American machinery over there for war. Strengthen our allies in the Indo-Pacific, you know, like the Philippines. And the LPNH says, still not America. And then he says, pass additional measures to counter our adversaries and strengthen our national security. And the LPNH says, sounds like it might be related to America, but it actually is the TikTok ban, which is coming Friday. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Gardner Goldsmith. Find Liberty Conspiracy every Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Time live on Rockfin, Rumble, and my Twitter/X, which is at Gard, G-A-R-D, Goldsmith.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
You can help more people hear the message of liberty by joining Free Talk Live's AMPS program on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. And you'll get access to special perks. Visit amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
We return with Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, and I welcome you to join us every Monday through Friday, live at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for the Liberty Conspiracy, because freedom is out of fashion. You can tune in on Rumble, on Rockfin, and on my Twitter/X at Gard Goldsmith, G-A-R-D Goldsmith. Please spread the word if you like the information you're getting and join us in any of the chats. Now, let's talk a little bit about journalistic integrity. There's a guy named Jake... what's this dude's name? Jake. Jake Novak is his name. And he was a guest today on the Grace Curley Show, talking about something that I think many conservatives try to use as leverage against Barack Obama, and they should stop doing it. It has to do with those billions and billions of dollars that Barack Obama just gave to that evil terrorist backing Iranian government. You know, the one that gives money to people and overthrows governments all around the world and helps fund occupation of other places. You know, Iran, right? Now, if you put Iran in a mirror, it's spelled A-M-E-R-I-C-A. Don't tell anybody about that now. You didn't see anything. Here's what he had to say. And a lot of people believed it. I actually was in the chat and tried to give people the real information on this. And I mentioned this a few times, but I want to go into more specifics so that all the information is there, because each time I've mentioned it before, it's only been in passing. So let me give you the visual citation and the information so that you know what we're talking about here. But here we go. He knows this guy, Jake Novak, he knows all about Israel and all the other ignorant people who just don't understand the reality about Iran, I should say, about Iran. Here we go.
The terrorist presence in the world, and that's why they did this.
Yeah, and I also think, Jake, just to simplify it even further for people, at least the way I go about it, is I tend to find the reports credible because if given the option to believe Reuters or the White House, I would believe Reuters. I have very little faith in the mainstream media, but they have a better record on telling the truth at this point than this White House. They lie about absolutely everything, no matter how big or how small.
That's right. And, you know, another aspect of this is also, let's not be naive. Now, I don't have the photographic evidence, so I'm not going to name any names. But let's just be logical here. It's important to be logical. Since 2008, this foreign policy team, the Obama-born foreign policy team, has transferred, either in direct money or in sanctions relief, hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars to the Iranian regime. When you have that kind of a transfer of money from point A to point B, the people who facilitate that transfer get a cut of it.
So he's talking about how certain Iranian interests will get a cut of it, and then that money will be given to terrorist groups, sort of like what the United States government has been doing for a long time and what led to the formation of Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and other terroristic networks, including the backing of Nazis in Ukraine. But he doesn't. He must have been busy. Probably had a lot of other radio shows where he could spread his propaganda. So let's take an opportunity now and check out the facts about that. Here are the explicit facts. Fact check. This is Newsweek. Now, many times you got to be skeptical when you see these things, but since I was already aware of the history, I just wanted to call this up for you and show you some of the historical citations of this. And Newsweek has it right. Fact check. Did the U.S. under Obama give Iran $150 billion? Well, yes, indeed. The question was, why? And whose money was it? And they go through this. They did this on October 18th, 2023. I'll just give you the quick thumbnail sketch, but the pertinent data I hope to on which I want to focus, I hope to bring to you as quick as possible here. Relations between the U.S. and Iran worsened this week, as Iran's foreign minister said the U.S. would suffer heavy losses if the Israel-Hamas conflict expanded. As tensions simmer, conservative commentators shared claims that President Barack Obama's administration had given $150 billion to Iran. Effectively, they argued, funding Hamas. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun. You know, if anybody's going to fund Hamas, it better be just the United States. And they ought to just stay in Qatar the way the United States and Benjamin Netanyahu want them staying in Qatar as multi-billionaires. Okay, got it? Okay. That's a reality. That has happened. That is true. A post on X by Jack Posobiec of Human Events, posted on the 16th of October, referenced a Charlie Kirk tweet from September 11, 2015. Of course, chosen by Charlie Kirk for that specific reason, which stated, Iran funds Hamas. Hamas kills Americans and Jews. Now we give Iran $150 billion. Where do you think that money will go? Hashtag Iran deal. You know, you hear these things like, they just gave them money. Did anybody bother looking into this except for libertarians and peace-loving leftists? I was aware of it when he did it, because it was the second portion of money that was owed. It started under the George W. Bush administration. It goes even further back than that, because they kept delaying on what they were supposed to give back. Posobiec wrote, Charlie warned us, and now people are mad at him. Well, let's check this out. As Newsweek correctly writes, this was not funding given to Iran. The amount quoted refers to foreign assets that belonged to Iran and were frozen by sanctions imposed to impede its nuclear program. That would be the nuclear program in which the CIA assassinated one of its nuclear researchers. And they're not researchers for nuclear weapons. It's their nuclear power system program. And again, that's the one where they used a virus to try to destroy that as well. United States, who cares about the risk when they're Persians, right? The JCPOA was also an international agreement between Iran and a number of major world powers, including the U.S. Just how much these assets were worth has not been released, but $150 billion is the highest estimate provided by U.S. officials. The figure was mentioned in passing by Obama in an interview with The Atlantic in 2015 when questioned where the money could end up.
Hey, sweetie, how you doing? Hold on there. The question is, if Iran has $150 billion parked outside the country, does the IRGC automatically get $150 billion? Well, does that $150 billion then translate by orders of magnitude into their capacity to project power throughout the region? He's talking about all the things he has to consider when, of course, continuing, before he gave it back, continuing to illegally hold money that the United States government had no constitutional power to hold. So, in fact, during the chat, inside the Rumble chat, and by the way, I saw one of our viewers over watching Redacted when I was watching Redacted. That was great to see. I was psyched. And I was like, ah, cool. We got some good stuff from Redacted a little while ago. Let me show you the Grace Curley chat while I was there. So here it is. I said, Kirby himself deceives when he denies that they gave it. And she played a cut from John Kirby saying, I don't know what you're talking about, us giving us money, giving out money. And that was a question from Peter Ducey. Well, the United States gave Iran hundreds of billions of dollars. And he goes, I don't know what money you're talking about. So they're both off base. And I said, so I had a link to the Newsweek piece. Some guy comes in, he says, who gives an F what Newspeak article says? Fact is, those assets were frozen in 1979 for a reason, but our first Muslim president gave it up. So I just answered him this way. I said, there's no constitutional power allowing the feds to seize or hold the cash, and I hope constitutionalists will acknowledge the problem in holding said cash, plus call for an amendment if they want to do it. Otherwise, such a conservative opens the door to any anti-constitutional action by the government. And that's the thing that gets me, is so many of these folks who are so ramped up about this don't understand that when they can play fast and loose with the U.S. Constitution, they invite anyone to play fast and loose with the Constitution, to do anything they want. Now, to get back to the vaunted defender of that Constitution, which we're going to make a point about that again as anarchists in just a minute, Mike Johnson, it hasn't stopped him. Speaker Mike Johnson, according to, this is Marjorie Taylor Greene, Speaker Mike Johnson has thrown our GOP conference into chaos by serving the Democrats and passing Biden's agenda. Last week, Speaker Johnson shoved warrantless spying on Americans down our throats with FISA. Now, Speaker Johnson is going to fund foreign wars while refusing to force Chuck Schumer to hold a trial to impeach Mayorkas and demanding Joe Biden sign HR2 into law. Speaker Johnson must announce a resignation date and allow Republicans to elect a new speaker to put America first and pass a Republican agenda. Thank you, Representative Thomas Massey, for co-sponsoring my motion to vacate. It's time for a new speaker. Yeah, we're going to talk about Thomas Massey in just a minute, but I want to get your thoughts on this. Massey has been unbelievably courageous. And by the way, if you want to know about HR2, that's the border. That's the funding for the border. In fact, call up my old thing here. She said the Senate should take up HR2 and take it seriously. That's the only way we can assure our border at this time. I don't know how much is in it.
you know, for the border. But I do know that, again, just like the United States has no constitutional power to hold the money of foreigners or even foreign governments, you know, during non-wartime, they also have no said power to do that at the border either, unless there is a war or states have requested assistance for their own protection. Now, I want to turn to Thomas Massie and see what Thomas Massie has to say, because there's a lot coming up, folks, and Massie's on top of it. He says, I just told Mike Johnson in conference that I'm co-sponsoring the motion to vacate, that would be vacate the Speaker of the House seat, by that was introduced by Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, of course, from Georgia. He from Kentucky. He should pre-announce his resignation, as Bonner did, so we can pick a new speaker without ever being without a GOP speaker. Very interesting stuff. There's a lot going on, folks. It's pretty intense. But I think one of the main drivers of this, just to mention that we can't lose sight of some of the big figures behind what's going on in Israel, behind the United States troops being on the ground in Israel, behind the new funding that the speaker wants to have in separate bills. We'll hear more about that coming up from Ron Paul and Daniel McAdams for Ukraine, is what M.E. Moore posted about Frank Zappa. When a reporter for the United States Army Training and Doctrine Command interviewed Frank Zappa for the command's news syndicate, the story was held by a superior who demanded that Zappa, who had been rather hard on the Army, answer one more question. Just who does he think will defend the country without the Army? Zappa's reply, from what? The biggest threat to America today is its own federal government. Will the Army protect anybody from the FBI, the IRS, the CIA, the Republican Party, the Democratic Party? The biggest dangers we face today don't even need to sneak past our billion-dollar defense system. They issue the contracts for them. And at the end, of course, we see the issue was not run. And our friend Emmy Moore says, I have lost friends over these opinions, but I stand by them because they are also mine. Stay vigilant. And they are true, Emmy. They are true. So true. And one final item that I want to bring to you, if I get the opportunity to grab it here real quick, here is this one. Let's hear from Frederick Bastiat again, shall we? He wrote, socialism, like the ancient ideas from which it springs, confuses the distinction between government and society. As a result of this, every time we object to a thing being done by government, the socialists conclude that we object to its being done at all. And that includes defense. That includes supporting Israel. If you like Israel, you can send them a check. You'll be sending a check to genocidal maniacs, but you can send them a check if you want to. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, my friends, saludos, my friends. Let's get back to more and find out what the Ron Paul Liberty Report has to say. This is a lot of coverage, and I want to make sure that I give it to you as soon as possible. There might be a little volume here with the ads popping up, but I want to give this to you right away. Great stuff from Ron Paul. But, here we go.
Yeah, the attack on our freedom is the big deal, but that's not on the agenda. So this just really burst forth yesterday, and these were the change in plans because there's a lot of resistance, and our friend Thomas Massie got sick and tired of the process and the leadership in the House right now. So I imagine he surprised some people. But it really shouldn't surprise you. The surprise really is, how did it get this far, after all this nonsense going on? But anyway, the thing that should bug us the most about Johnson, he came into the speakership with a different platform. And all of a sudden, he's given up on that. And that has to be the most frustrating part. So he has different viewpoints on funding. And it'll be interesting to see what happens this week, how much money they're going to get. But, you know, and you've mentioned before that, you know, what the Congress generally does in the past, they'll have a separate, sort of like an amendment and a vote. But when they have to send it to the Senate, there'll be an agreement, you know, and pile it all together. It's not going to be separate votes probably in the Senate. And but the one thing for sure that they're really working on is that the fourth bill, you know, the miscellaneous thing. What are we going to do with TikTok and other things? And that might be the biggest issue. And that's where we're getting the least amount of information. But we don't have a.
So I want to go back to Ron Paul in just a minute. Of course, again, that TikTok bill coming up on Friday, plus two separate bills, one for Ukraine, one for Israel. And then there's going to be a larger bill. And then, as Ron says, they're probably, Dr. Paul says, they're probably going to be combined in the Senate in some way, one or two bills. But something I also want to bring up to you that I thought was rather valuable is the fact that people who really shouldn't are being highly critical of Thomas Massie for bringing up what he's bringing up and taking the actions that he and Marjorie Taylor Greene are taking. In fact, one former congressman called Thomas Massie a clown for doing what he's doing. And so I want to show you what he has to say. And then we're going to talk about David Stockman, then go back to Ron Paul and Daniel McAdams. Because I think you might find this pretty interesting. Let's see here. Yep, here it is. Remember Adam Kinzinger? Adam Kinzinger, he's got his Israeli flag and his Ukrainian flag on his X feed. He's a CNN commentator, was in the Air National Guard. He calls himself a proud rhino. Yeah, he's a former congressman, and he's acting like quite a jerk. So let's hear what he has to say about the fact that in order to get certain things done now, it's totally cool. The speaker's just not a problem. He's going to circumvent the conservatives and join up with the Democrats and the people who actually want to conform to the Constitution or maybe keep spending down, even if it isn't constitutional, if they're just trying to hold the line. No, they're clowns, according to Kinzinger. Here he is.
Okay, let's do another emergency video about what's going on with the Ukraine aid. So obviously the Republicans have this plan to do it all separately, which I think ultimately gets done. It's got to re-get through the Senate. But as you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene had this threat to vacate. A few minutes ago, Tom Massie, who's a complete just clown, by the way, he actually used to be principled, but now he's like just for fame. He says he's going to join the motion to vacate. Now, what this has the potential of doing is actually getting Speaker Johnson. This would be the baller move if he's like, all right, fine. You want to screw with me? I'll screw with you and just put the Senate bill on the floor and be done with it. And it would pass. That's what he should do. I doubt he'll end up doing that. But I do think this Massie Marjorie Taylor Greene motion to vacate is actually going to force Johnson to have to work with the Democrats, which long term I think is good for getting this stuff done. So let's keep watching and see what happens here. But
that's great. That's a real Republican for you there, huh? That's the guy with some principles. Totally cool. Just get it done. You know, get that money out to Ukraine. Yeah, got to get that done. And so, you know, the speaker, the GOP's speaker for the Republican Party, wielding all that power for the Republican Party, will, in order to survive, have to work with Democrats because he's not going to get the support of people who had some hope for him. But as we saw with Ron Paul on day one, what did he introduce? He introduced more money for Israel. That's what the speaker did. So I wrote to Mr. Kinzinger, and I haven't seen a reply. I said, I'm curious, Mr. Kinzinger, could you cite for me the enumerated power in the U.S. Constitution that allows the Congress to send money and weapons around the world? Deeper than that, can you tell me how it's moral for me or you or anyone to command that my neighbor be forced to pay for your preferences? Thanks. That's awesome. Isn't it great you got to pay his salary for a few years? That's great, too. Now let's get to back to Ron Paul as we hear more about the speaker's moves. Daniel McAdams, and he referred to some good stuff from Zero Hedge.
A copy of these bills that they're talking about. None of it yet.
Well, let's put up that first clip because this is what we're talking about. This happened yesterday afternoon. Johnson unveils separate Israel-Ukraine funding bills that Marjorie Taylor Greene calls a scam. And this is, he's been facing pressure by the neocons, of course, and the warmongers, not by the actual Americans who have to pay for it. He's been facing pressure in the Beltway. When are you going to pass these aid bills? When are you going to pass these aid bills? And like you said, Dr. Paul, the reason Johnson is in that seat in the first place is because McCarthy seemed to be such a nimby-pamby. He was relying on the Democrats to pass bills. He was not a fiscal conservative. He was throwing money around like a drunken sailor. So let's get in this guy, Mike Johnson. He's a real conservative. He's not going to lead us down this path. And here it turns out he is even worse than McCarthy. And as you mentioned, Massey again warned us, warned America, getting rid of McCarthy, he's the devil we know. You know, you're going to end up getting something worse. And once again, he's proven totally right. So they get back from their Easter break, whatever they call it, spring break or whatever, and there he hits the ground running. The first thing he does, and we talked about it over the weekend at our conference, the first thing he does is cast a tie-breaking vote denying the Fourth Amendment protection to Americans. No longer does the government have to get a warrant to spy on you. That was his.
And then, of course, the FISA vote right there. That's Johnson.
First thing. And then, boom, he drops these four massive spending bills. Put on this next one. Here's apparently what he delivered to the colleagues in the caucus when they got together. I don't know if we can make this bigger, but this is just apparently what was leaked out by a member.
So let's look at that now. This is what the Speaker of the House, which is provided for in that lovely Constitution, wants coming up in these four bills. $95.34 billion, roughly 60% of which goes directly to the Department of, I don't know what DIB is, Ukraine, $48.43 billion. Israel, $14.1 billion. Red Sea operations, of course, backing Israel in another way, $2.4 billion. And Indo-Pacific, we will say COM, that's the Indo-Pacific region, $2.58 billion. The Philippines, Guam, you know, all those places. Yep. We'll be back with more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
We return with more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can check out Liberty Conspiracy live every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Rumble, Rockfin, and my Twitter /X feed at Guard Goldsmith. And of course, feel free to visit my Substack. And let's first turn to the story about Mike Johnson. Here it is, everybody. Yes, the added arrogance, ignorance, flippancy, literally, of Speaker Mike Johnson. $95 billion for Ukraine alone is what he wants. And, of course, he gives us a reference to Newt Gingrich as somehow a supportive factor in his argument that he is a wartime Speaker of the House and that this just has to be done, including FISA surveillance of you and an even expanded version of FISA, plus, of course, more money going to Israel. Let's see what this great, great man had to tell us. Oh, what a Christian.
Look, we are in unprecedented times, okay? We're in dangerous times. This has been articulated here, around the world, and here at home. We need steady leadership. We need steady hands at the wheel. I regard myself as a wartime speaker. I mean, in a literal sense, we are. I knew that when I took the gavel. I didn't anticipate that this would be an easy path. Former Speaker Newt Gingrich posted a couple days ago on his social media that this is the hardest challenge that's faced a speaker probably in the history of the country, in the moment we're in right now. He said, arguably, maybe comparable to the Civil War, but maybe worse.
Okay, well, you know what, everybody? Newt Gingrich, those of you who don't remember, Newt Gingrich also is the man who around 2005 or so said that he wanted everything that went out on the internet to be adjudged by a panel to find out whether it could go on the internet first. And he said, I would be supportive of that as long as the panel was composed of people who had had military service. A panel of judges for speech. That was Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich. He's quoting Newt Gingrich. And let's watch that again, everybody, because I do think that this is quite valuable to see, because this guy's so full of himself that he thinks it's like he's some sort of a Churchill-esque figure, that he knew this going in and there's a steady hand is required. Really? You mean something like maybe somebody who conforms to the Constitution? No, no. What are you talking about, Gardner? You're crazy. You're out of your mind. Here we go.
Look, we are in unprecedented times. Okay.
Okay. So let's just stop it there. Why is the is it we? First of all, we are in unprecedented times. Why do I have to be party to your collusion and you're sending weapons over there? And maybe that's part of the reason why the United States, as you say, as you try to portray, is in unprecedented times, because Joe Biden has blocked energy from Russia. Joe Biden and other people were involved in the overthrow of the government of Ukraine. United States backing of NATO saw the expansion of NATO into former Iron Curtain nations. The United States overthrew that government in Ukraine and then put in a government that was friendly with neo-Nazis and now is supplying them with weapons. Maybe that's why United States is we, wink, wink, are tied to that problem. I know. Maybe it's almost like the United States helped bring about the problem. I know. Isn't that strange? People like you who keep giving weapons to Ukraine. On our dime and the dimes of future generations whom you're enslaving. And then, of course, there's the other argument about Israel. I didn't know that the United States had a 51st state called Israel. I didn't know that. I also have a bit of a problem with the United States, without any declaration of war, according to your constitution, giving them every year, unless it stopped, almost $4 billion a year in weapons aid. As David Stockman mentioned yesterday, they could increase their corporate tax 1 or 2%, and they could fund their own military there. Yeah, I know. It's strange. Maybe you're not familiar with David Stockman. He's the guy is pretty pro-freedom. He used to work for Reagan, knows about economics and stuff and the Constitution and stuff. There, Mr. Speaker. I also noticed you didn't mention the Constitution, and you're still doing the royal we of forced inclusion. I'd rather not be part of your plans. I don't see how the Iran-Israel conflict has anything to do with the United States. But you know what you're going to do? You're going to make oil prices pretty bad, because supposedly the Israelis are going to retaliate against the Iranians, who retaliated against the Israelis killing people unprovokedly inside Syria in the Iranian embassy. According to the United Nations, the Iranian government had the full so-called right prerogative to retaliate. They didn't kill anybody in their retaliation. You have seen there are many experts, including Douglas McGregor and others, who have said that they specifically went about their retaliation against military targets. That's not what Israel did, is it? Now, it was a state target, but there were civilians in the embassy that they destroyed in Damascus. How about they don't destroy an embassy at all? That's an idea. How about they don't make me pay for it? There's an idea, too. But you, being Speaker of the House in an office that's provided by the U.S. Constitution, have the fatuous inclination to say things like this.
We're in dangerous times. This has been articulated here, around the world, and here at home. We need steady leadership. We need steady hands at the wheel. I regard myself as a wartime speaker. I mean, in a literal sense, we are. I knew that.
Okay, and that's the final bit there. Literal. He doesn't even know the difference between the United States officially declaring war with a capital W and not declaring war. That would be a figurative sense. That's the difference, Speaker. I thought you were a bright guy. That's what everybody said. You're saying the United States is literally at war. When did you was that part of your omnibus budget that you sneaked in a declaration of war and we just didn't know? I don't know. Maybe it's just in there. We don't know. United States is perpetually at war, and then they have the audacity to then use authorization to use military force. As I wrote for, I believe it was the Mises Institute, they might as well use the word donut. There is no such thing in the Constitution. It would be nice if people, as XTC would say, if people would wake up and understand that. But what can you do? That's the speaker. Let's look at some of the specifics on what this guy is pushing. And then we'll go back a little bit later and talk about the Israeli-Iran conflict, the EU sanctions against Iran that the United States is pushing as well, and a few other things. First, let's talk about the United States. Johnson unveils $95 billion foreign military bills. According to Dave DeCamp, the legislation includes $61 billion for Ukraine, $26 billion to support Israel, and $8 billion for Taiwan. And he wants to get this done on Friday. The three bills, plus that other one for FISA, match roughly with the $95 billion foreign military aid bill that was passed by the Senate, although Israel will get a boost in military aid. Is it time yet? Is it time to seriously grit one's teeth and say, anywhere these people appear, anytime they appear, face off against them, tell them, ask them, cite for me the passage of the Constitution, and give it the closure of, if you cannot do that, why do you swear an oath to the Constitution? If you can't do it, why is there an amendment process in there if you're just going to do anything you want? Is your office open to anybody who walks in? Or does the Constitution delineate and specify that there's one office for the speaker? How does that work? Tell us where it applies and where it doesn't apply, because it seems to only apply when it's your seat. And then the rest is just completely hands off. Doesn't matter, right? Doesn't matter at all. Yep, the Israeli bill costs a total of $26 billion, the majority of which will go towards supporting the slaughter of Palestinians in Gaza. And as I mentioned, despite the White House claiming that Joe Biden told Netanyahu not to attack Iran, well, guess what? The Israelis announced they are going to attack Iran, and the speaker is still pushing $26 billion to go to them. And of course, Joe Biden will allow it. So the things they say and the things they do obviously do not comport, does not compute, right? Then we've got the FISA aspect coming up on Friday. So let's get a little theme for that. And then we'll go back to the Iran-Israel conflict and Ukraine after we're joined by Eric Peters. But let's talk about the FISA portion of this, because it's even worse than people thought. We need a theme for that, of course. Public Image Limited. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Who needs those people in Gaza, right? Who needs those Palestinians or anybody down there? We need the Israelis to move in. Zionist state must expand. It's awesome. I love that line. Go crawl back into your dustbin with all the other tin pot dictators and despots through the years. See, bye. Oh, man, that's good stuff. Remember, everybody, Steve Vai is joining Robert Fripp and the drummer from Tool. They're getting together to do King Crimson's 80s stuff from like Discipline and stuff like that. Three of a Perfect Pair, Elephant Talk. They're going to be touring, I think, starting in the fall. So I cannot wait for that. All right, let's start it off with a little tip of the hat to the great Derek Brose. And of course, you can find him on Twitter at on X at D Broze, B-R-O-Z-E, Live Free. D Broze, Live Free. News, surveillance state on steroids. Congress is preparing to pass an amendment to Section 702 of FISA that would vastly expand the powers of the NSA. The Conscious Resistance Network's newest contributor, Don Valla Jr., explains more. All right. So before we go into that, I want to turn to the excellent work of you know who.
There's but the headline tells us a little bit about where we're going. And that is, this is from Zero Head, supercharged spying provision buried in terrifying FISA 702 reauthorization. I guess it shouldn't shock us there's something in there. It was already so bad. This discovery has nothing to do with providing more national defense. Matter of fact, it has everything to do with undermining, you know, liberty and defense because it's such an atrocious attack on personal liberties.
And remember what Johnson said. He said, well, when I was on judiciary, there were thousands and thousands of abuses by the FBI. But now that I'm speaker, I got a classified briefing and I'm all for it. So it shows that he's either criminally naive about this whole thing, in which case he shouldn't be the speaker, shouldn't even be in Congress, or he's in on it. He's one of them. He's against America. And it's terrible. Let's put that first clip up. Because buried in the bill, HPSC, the House, the Select Intelligence Committee, put some things in it, put an amendment to this bill that made it incredibly worse. It said, here's the hedge opener. On Monday, House finalized procedural business on a bill to reauthorize the nation's warrantless surveillance powers under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which Ron Wyden called one of the most dramatic and terrifying expansions of government surveillance authority in history. I will do everything in my power to stop it from passing the Senate, said Senator Wyden. Now, we've worked with Wyden in the past. He's been very good on civil liberties, and he's got a keen eye for these things.
That if you have access to any communications, the government can force you to help it spy. That means anybody with access to a server, a wire, a cable box, a Wi-Fi router, a phone, or a computer. So think for a moment about the millions of Americans who work in buildings and offices in which communications are stored or passed through. After all, every office building in America has data cables running through it. The people are not just the engineers who install, maintain, and repair our communications infrastructure. There are countless others who could be forced to help the government spy, including those who clean offices and guard buildings. If this provision is enacted, the government can deputize any of these people against their will and force them, in effect, to become what amounts to an agent for Big Brother. For example, by forcing an employee to insert a USB thumb drive into a server at an office they clean or guard at night. This can all happen without any oversight whatsoever. The FISA court won't know about it. The Congress won't know about it. Americans who are handed these directives will be forbidden from talking about it.
There you go,
that's
everybody.
Just incredible. The person who cleans the building at night can be forced to insert a thumb drive and download all the data of an employee, and that he or she cannot tell anyone about it, and the government will force them to spy on Americans. I can't believe it.
When I was listening to this and reading what's going on, I keep thinking back to you know our first experience with this type of issue, and my comment to myself was, it all started with the Patriot Act.
It sure did. Well, you remember what they did during the Patriot Act time. They said, we're at war, Ron. This is no time to be whining about civil liberties.
That's how
they rammed it through. We're at war.
If this stands, this is a tremendous victory for the police state.
Yes.
And so often in past times, people would say, how did the people go along with this? Why did they do it? There were a lot of good people in Japan and Germany and Italy and all these places, and yet they still went along with it. But here's an example of it. They don't keep their guard up, and they're taught to be obedient to anything that sounds like patriotism, and they go along with it.
Yeah, so right. And, of course, the larger point that I often try to make, or almost every time try to make, is that FISA, all of FISA, is unconstitutional. And this is an expansion of it. And it is connected, at least ideologically. I'm sure people are aware of it in Washington, D.C. But I don't think a lot of reporters have been mentioning what I mentioned a little bit earlier at the start of the show, which is that Joe Biden, and you can go to my MRC TV pages for this, but Joe Biden already issued an executive order that says that the U.S. government can at any time demand access to anybody's security protocols for their software, for their hardware, anything that they claim in Washington could be utilized for defensive purposes or for a medical application, because they say that there could be some sort of medical biological warfare aspect to it. And so under the auspices of emergency, they also have claimed it through the executive branch. Now, we also know that on Friday, they're going to be pushing the TikTok ban, and that is just straight out theft, just like the seizure of Russian assets, the seizure of the Iranian assets, as I mentioned last night, and I went through some of the history of that. You know, people got so upset when the United States government gave Iran back money that the United States government had illegally and unconstitutionally seized and held for over a decade and two decades. And people like, I can't believe Obama's paying off Iran. That was the second part of money that should have been sent over. Now, that was the first part. Then Biden sent over some more. So at least in that instance, they were doing what was called for years before and had been delayed and should never have happened. The seizure of foreign assets. There's no declared war. How do they get away with it? I don't know. Maybe you could ask the speaker. I guess we can't. Somebody's pulling the string in that speaker. Somebody's got the wires backwards in that speaker. Unfortunately, he's just spouting nonsense. It is amazing. Now, let's go over into the first part that I mentioned here on the war coverage stuff, because as we saw, Speaker Johnson unveiling the $95 billion total, $61 billion for Ukraine, $26 billion to support Israel. There's something else that I want to show you, which I think is pretty key. And this comes from Douglas McGregor as he was on with Judge Napolitano yesterday talking about what he's seeing coming out of Ukraine. We already knew there was no chance the Ukrainians were going to be successful in any way whatsoever, right? Not at all. We'll talk about Iran and Israel in a minute, and the Gaza thing in a minute, or after Eric Peters joins us. But I want to give you this information about Ukraine, because supposedly Speaker Johnson didn't think it was wise to give more money to Ukraine. He never mentioned the Constitution, but he was just saying, well, he was, of course, using it as leverage so he could get more money for Israel, and then claiming he was using it for leverage to get money for the border. That's not part of any of these bills for people who still think they want the central government and their command posts to control the border, right? Well, that's not happening, even with the supposedly conservative guy, Mr. Speaker. And he's getting advice, or at least he's taking advice from tweets from a guy who, yes, wanted to silence people in 2005, Newt Gingrich. Nothing like the black-robed oligarchs of a tyrannical police state, huh? Of course, all states are really police states. Just depends how hard they're hitting you, right? If you don't want to pay, you'll find out what kind of state it is. So let's turn to some very keen observations from Douglas McGregor, who offered, I think, something that, let me just double-check something here, who offered something that I think really shows us what we expected all along. Ukraine is on its last legs. And in fact, now they're actually going around demanding your papers. Everyone, male and female in Ukraine from ages 16 to 60 has to have on hand at any time when asked by so-called authorities their draft documents. They're also asking foreigners if they would like to join the Ukrainian military. Why? Not only have they been close to a million of their soldiers been wiped out, but in addition to that, we're also looking at the fact that many are starting to defect, according to Douglas McGregor. Let's hear what he had to say to Judge Napolitano yesterday.
No, they're absolutely credible. That's one of the reasons the Ukrainians are in many cases are saying, let's get this over with and be done with it. The Russians, contrary to the propaganda in the West, have treated anyone who came voluntarily to them, surrendered, very, very well. In fact, the Ukrainian soldiers have probably been better fed and received better medical care than they did when they were in their own force. So now this is very credible. You know, again, if you go back to President Putin's interview, at one point he told Tucker, you know, this is more than what you think it is. It's more like a civil war. And he talked about Ukrainian units where everyone in the formation spoke Russian. And said, we won't surrender because we're Russians. They didn't refer to themselves as Ukraine. So there's more going on here than I think we realize. And the good news is I think we're at the end of this pointless and destructive struggle.
We'll be back with more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Thanks for listening.
Free Talk Live.
We return with more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can check out Liberty Conspiracy live every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Rumble, Rockfin, and my Twitter/X feed at Guard Goldsmith. And, of course, feel free to visit my Substack. And don't forget, I do want to remind you folks that Jeffrey Pyatt was, of course, in the news as he said that the new Russian Arctic pipeline would be dead in the water. He was the one who was on the phone call with Victoria Nuland in the infamous F the EU phone call early 2014 as they discussed whom they were going to put in charge of the government of Ukraine. And Jeffrey Pyatt is now the U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for Energy Resources, and it's the Arctic LNG 2 pipeline that the Russian government would like to allow or like to help construct along with some of its forces. I don't like the government getting involved, but the U.S. government is going to block it. They are dead set against it, just like all these other areas where they don't want you to get natural gas and energy. They're trying to stop that as well. And I don't hear the Speaker of the House speaking up in favor of that for you. Do you? No. I don't hear the Speaker saying, hey, what is the Biden administration doing and not allowing American consumers to try to get more? I don't get it. By the way, when it comes to the Libertarian Institute, I do want to mention that they have done great work covering the number of, now switching over to Israel and Gaza, the number of humanitarian sites and convoys that have been attacked in Gaza. Connor Freeman, April 16th, put this out. Prior to the Israeli military slaughter of 7 World Central Kitchen aid workers in Gaza this month, Middle East Eye reports that at least 357 humanitarian-run sites and convoys had been attacked. As with the incident involving the slain WCK workers, which included an American citizen, the humanitarian orgs shared their coordinates in advance with operations with in advance of operations with the warring parties. And they went according to the chosen pass from Israel. Israel hit them anyway. And UN officials have warned of great difficulty in repairing the broken humanitarian notification system, which brings us back to antiwar.com, because at antiwar.com, they're reporting. Remember how we said that the Israelis were saying, oh, it's perfectly fine now to go into the north? Well, guess what they're doing? They're bombing the north. Yeah, they're bombing the north. In fact, I'll just say that briefly. It's just unbelievable what they're doing. It's ridiculous. I want to just mention this just briefly. Also, that, and did I say Iran or Israel? I hope I said Israel. The Israelis might have actually delayed the Israelis might have actually delayed their attack on Rafah because of the Iranian attack. So the Iranian attack on some of the military sites in Israel might have actually allowed some of those people to get out of there. Some of the innocent people, because we don't even know how many so-called terrorists there are. And for the Iranians and their response, the United States and the EU are pushing for more sanctions against Iran rather than sanctions against Israel for actually killing civilians in Syria. The European Union will start the necessary work to hit Iran with heavier sanctions after Saturday's aerial attack in Israel, the bloc's top diplomat has said. That's Joseph Borrell said he would ask to study the possibility of expanding existing EU sanctions against Iranian drone technology. It would see the current sanctions regime established in July last year to punish Iran for aiding so-called Putin's war machine expanded to include missiles and to also cover Iran's proxies in the region. And they will just claim that they are proxies, anything they want. That's what they'll do. And here is more about Israel. They're imposing unlawful restrictions on the aid and when it gets through. UN Rights Office says Israel is still imposing unlawful restrictions on Gaza aid. UN's Human Rights Office said on Tuesday that Israel is still imposing unlawful restrictions on aid entering Gaza, that according to Reuters. After Israel slaughtered 7 workers, and that got some attention in the West, didn't it? But it didn't stop the flow of weapons. Just got them saying things, and they're still going to do exactly what they did before. Benjamin Netanyahu's government supposedly made a commitment to allow more aid into the Strip, but the UN says aid levels are still too low and below the bare minimum of what is needed. No shocker. Let's hear another excellent cut from Judge Napolitano with Connor Freeman, this time from this afternoon. Connor Freeman is with the Libertarian Institute, and occasionally when Dave DeCamp isn't with anti-war, Connor will fill in and write articles for Dave. You did that about a week ago. Check this out. Connor's got some key things to say about the United States' position with Israel and this bizarre idea that Iran's response is somehow what deserves all the attention from the high and mighty hearts on their sleeves Westerners, when they didn't say a peep or try to install sanctions against Israel for its attack on the Syrian embassy, Iranian embassy in Syria. Here's Connor.
In the case of even the genocide in Gaza, there's really no moral, certain people are subjected to certain, if you want to call them this, laws of morality that other countries are not. So when we say send in Nazis over the border into Russia to kill civilians and attack civilians, or we complicit in it, that's really not a crime. But of course, Russia and their war against Ukraine is viewed as the ultimate evil, even though we are using Ukraine as a human battering ram.
The U.S. pretty much makes up its own rules as it goes along and makes up rules for others. Any other country doing in Gaza what the Israelis are doing, even the U.S. would acknowledge that it's genocide. But because the U.S. pays for it and pays for it under pressure from the donor class that really has a vice grip on the U.S. government, it's not considered genocide. It's not even considered a war crime. And the president can condemn it all he wants, but he keeps paying for it.
Precisely.
And the Israeli, the IDF, can occupy the West Bank and can occupy Gaza all at once. Joe Biden will attack Vladimir Putin for occupying the eastern part of Ukraine, but will pay for Benjamin Netanyahu occupying Palestine.
Absolutely. $3.8 billion a year, at least.
How much of this free speech for me, but not for thee, is going to go on?
I really don't see any end in sight, Judge. I mean, for instance, you know, to your point, the Israelis, the American government makes much more of a stink about how women are treated in Iran than they do about Israel attacking or bombing 400 different health facilities in Gaza and killing 700 or hundreds anyway of, they killed 700 people in those attacks in the first 5 months of the war, according to the World Health Organization, but they've killed hundreds and hundreds of medical workers and doctors and nurses and hundreds of aid workers, mostly working for the UN. They've tortured UN workers. They've raped UN workers. They are currently, as you say, as you're alluding to, demolishing thousands and thousands of buildings in the on the border with Israel in Gaza to create a so-called buffer zone. And they're currently stealing at least 16% of the land in Gaza. And we have, you know, members of the Knesset in the Jewish Power Party, Itamar Ben-Gavir's party, the, you know, some of the worst hardliners talking about how we have secret plans. We're going to be resettling Gaza. We're going to be taking it back. It may happen in phases, unfortunately, but we're going to take Gaza. And you know, Benny Gantz, of course, is saying that this war is going to go on for years and years and years. And the plan is for an indefinite occupation. And that's been repeated. So, of course, the American position is, well, we don't want to see Israel taking any land from Gaza. We have seen. But then, of course, when they announce that that's exactly what they're doing, the Biden administration does nothing, sends thousands of more 2,000-pound bombs and salutes everything that Netanyahu is doing, despite the claims of frustration. It's hard to swallow, but our government is just as criminal and genocidal and venal as the Israelis.
Nicely put. Criminal, genocidal, and venal. I mean, the Israeli government is a criminal gang, and you're correct to quote Benny Gantz. I mean, Benny Gantz is tall, slim, nice-looking, and likable, as opposed to Netanyahu, who was none of those. But in terms of the ferocity, it's the way God made him, but in terms of the ferocity of their policy, Gantz might actually be worse. I mean, when Gantz was the head of the IDF, the stuff that he did in Gaza, which was not covered even by us at the time, was as horrific as what Netanyahu and his crew are doing now. I think Netanyahu's days are numbered, but I don't think anything's going to change with respect to Gaza unless a state actor enters, which brings us back to Ukraine. My understanding of what the Israelis did was to kill civilians and attack an embassy, a consulate adjacent to an embassy. Consulates and embassies are immune from attack, even in wartime, under the Geneva Conventions, to which the Israelis are signatories. They don't care.
Of course.
Iran attacked military sites. They did send hundreds and hundreds of drones. They were all aimed at military sites. The purpose of the drones was to force the Israelis to waste their defensive mechanisms by shooting down the drones, and by doing them, revealing where the shooting down was coming from. They succeeded in doing that. That is, the Ukrainians now know where the Israeli defenses are, and the Israelis wasted $1.3 billion worth of ammunition in one night. Five missiles got through. They destroyed an intelligence headquarters, the headquarters that planned and plotted the attack on the Iranian consulate in Damascus, and they rendered useless two airfields. There is no moral equivalency. One was a targeted, let's not hurt civilian military attack. The other was, who cares about international law? Let's destroy the embassy. Let's kill the generals. And if anybody else gets killed, too bad.
That's absolutely right. And also, the Israelis gave, the Iranians gave at least a 72-hour notice and have been telegraphing this attack for 2 weeks at least. They had definitely let the Turks and the Jordanians and the Iraqis, and I believe the Saudis as well, know about the attack, who they no doubt passed that information along to the United States. And so, of course, Israel knew about it probably for the same duration. And the, as you say, they only targeted military sites. And they didn't kill anybody. They injured, the one injury of the 7-year-old Bedouin girl in the Negev was a result of a shrapnel that came down from a missile that was intercepted. And in the case of the bombing of the Iranian consulate, civilians were killed in that. And it was seven IRGC officials, including General Mohammad Reza Zahedi, the top Quds Force commander for operations in Lebanon and Syria, and his deputy. And so this was an absolute declaration of war against Iran. And the Iranians, actually, there's been reports that they actually said to the Americans in these back channel communications, if you push for a ceasefire, then we will not respond here to the Israelis. And they also said that if the UN Security Council would condemn the attack on the Iranian consulate, which is a flagrant violation of international law, virtually unprecedented, they still, the Americans, the British, and the French did not, and they're shameless. and they continue to lie in support of this genocide. And of course, we're seeing what it's reaping, which is a larger regional war with the axis of resistance, which is led by the Quds Force, led by Iran. And this is Benny Gantz's plan. Actually, Benny Gantz announced earlier, I believe during when Naftali Bennett was still prime minister, that the goal of the the Abraham Accords project was to build a NATO style coalition encircling Iran for a future war.
And there you go. Now, I just wanted to make sure I got that in about the Abraham Accords, because, of course, people were all praising Donald Trump, who, you know, what he did with Jerusalem. And they were saying, oh, you know, Donald Trump, this would be a totally different ball game if Donald Trump were president. Well, Donald Trump and the Abraham Accords go hand in hand. And the encircling of Iran was clearly part of the long-term agenda, and it has been happening for ages. So it's amazing to think that people can somehow continue to support any of the presidential candidates out there that are the major candidates, even RFK Jr., who's sort of the minor of the major candidates. They're all supportive of unconstitutional activities, taking your money to feed a war machine. It's just happening like crazy. It is ridiculous. In the meantime, they conduct war against you. They stop you from being able to freely associate with people, from communicating with people, from buying the goods you want to buy, from traveling. If you want to travel, unless you had the jabs, you couldn't go over the border if you were a trucker. It's just ridiculous. Now, by the way, over the border on the Canadian thing, I did a quick check, and I believe the Canadian proposal would raise the tax. It would go up 16.7% from where it stands right now for the capital gains tax. It would go from 50% to 66.7%. So, yeah, it's only 16%, only 16%. So great job, Connor Freeman, there. And I also want to mention, to bring it back to the United States policymakers and what's coming this week, we've got all these proposals plus this incredibly intrusive FISA anti-speech thing. And so let's break it down to pack in the money's worth here for you. We've got the Iranians and the Israelis. As Connor mentioned, he has heard that the Iranians told the United States government that if they could, if they would ask for a ceasefire, which Biden did not specifically do, and by policy, they were already signaling Iran as Israel, as they're doing now, that they're perfectly fine to go and retaliate. Because already we see the speaker wanting to send more billions to Israel. Despite all the things that Joe Biden say, oh, they better cut that out and all this sort of nonsense, right? No, they are going to be shooting for a bigger conflict. They're not allowing any of us to be heard. This is the time to grit our teeth and look at these people and face them off. And yes, call the Senate. Call the various senators who supposedly are your senators. Tell them to stop this. Call the Congress people. Tell them to stop this, right? I mean, you don't need me to implore it, but if you know, I'm going to do something tomorrow and just make some phone calls and say, hey, what's going on? You know, just lodge a phone call with the Senate offices and the House offices, right? Just do that at least feel like maybe you did something extra, right? If it's not too much time, it's, you know, it's time for nothing because nothing's going to happen. But at least we can protest. At least we can speak up and tell our friends, I'm getting very frustrated. What are you going to do? Well, it seems like the political options on the national level don't work. Trying to separate on a local level may work, but they've got so many strings attached through the government money chain, so many government money chains attached, that state politicians, county politicians, many city politicians rely on the inflated pork barrel spending of the United States government. Every 100 days, another $1 trillion in debt. And it's going to keep coming because they're going to try to continue to sweet talk people and give them gifts to go along with their incredibly metastasizing tyranny, right? But I do want to turn this frown upside down a little bit. So, well, maybe offer a little something extra for the bonus on the on the show. Little extra value here. If you go to my Twitter/X feed, you'll see the story about which I was referring, which was the precursor. So we've got the Israel-Iran stuff, the money for that. We've got the doublespeak of various politicians like David Cameron saying, well, what Iran did in Israel is just unbelievable, even though they already are party to agreements in the UN, whether or not I like the statism of it or not. And the idea that anybody's going to be taking somebody's money to fund a war machine, whether it's in Iran or Israel or anywhere, according to their agreements, those pompous statists like David Cameron, they already have agreements that say, yes, a nation state is allowed, according to the UN, to retaliate. And even if you look at the specifics of the way the Iranians retaliated, they didn't target civilians. That's not what the the Iranians didn't target Israeli civilians. The Israelis did target civilians, and they targeted some politicians inside that embassy. They didn't know who was going to be in that embassy. They didn't know who was going to get blown out nearby it, but they targeted it anyway. Just like they've been devastating civilians and wiping them out in Gaza. They don't care. There is something very peculiar. And as I said, I noticed this mindset amongst many of the Zionists when I was at BU. They don't care about the lives of other human beings that much. There's something very strange in the hardcore Zionists. And I don't know what it is, but it's pathological. It's only their nation state and their group of people, and they're not necessarily even practicing Jewish or ethnically Jewish. It's the people supporting the Jewish state and the expansion of it into Gaza. That's what it's about. It's like this bizarre obsession. They can't shake themselves out of it. They don't even think they want to. I do think I always say that the state is sociopathic because society exists separate from the government. As Frederick Bastiat said, society are the practices, traditions, and respect that we come up with and we practice through multiple iterations to see what works and doesn't work, the new developments in economics that help people, the bad things that are dropped out, and the good things that rise, right? We freely associate, we get to test them. Government is imposed on us. It is not society. And the only way government can exist, the state, the political government can exist, is by forcing society to cough up a portion of what it produces. Therefore, by definition, the state is sociopathic. It works against society. That's the only way it can operate. It's the only way the state can exist, is to be sociopathic. It already says, a portion of your decisions are not yours. A portion of your labor is not yours. It's ours. And then it expands. So whatever it is, whether it's your privacy or it's the fact that you don't want your money going to slaughter innocent people in Palestine or to perpetuate a quixotic war in Ukraine, none of it matters because the stays have already been pulled. They pulled them all. The minute they said that the government is there for your protection, now pay us. And people buy into it, right? So we've got the Iranian-Israeli thing, the double standards. We've got the incredibly ridiculous, completely disconnected from reality Speaker of the House saying he's a wartime speaker. Amazing. Just incredible. No declaration of war, not even a mention of it. And nobody even brings it up to him. They just lap it up. Are they even aware in the reporter pool, that there's a thing called a declaration of war? They didn't seem to be aware of it when the United States invaded Iraq. They went with the term authorization to use military force. Evidently, the network chattering heads thought that sounded sophisticated. Well, as sophisticated as it sounds, it's not in the document that they swear to uphold. It's not in their ruling document. It's not in the document that allows for a Speaker of the House. So maybe we can just say that the Speaker of the House shouldn't exist. When he comes to New Hampshire, I'll say, hey, you know, you're not Speaker. Well, it says so in the Constitution. Really? It also says you have to declare war if you want to send weapons overseas. That if you want to claim you're a wartime Speaker, you actually have to have a declared war there, buddy. How about that? Are people going to mock him for that? Well, Thomas Massie's doing so. Marjorie Taylor Greene is doing so. A few others are doing so, like libertarians, like the Ron Paul Institute, like Judge Napolitano, Russell Brand also. He was speaking about the Bible again today. Those people are speaking out. Kim Iverson speaking out. people like the folks at Redacted are speaking out, but the general reporters pool in D.C., they've operated so long under the idea that the government can just say we're at war, war on terror, war on drugs, war on this, that he can get away with it. Nobody says, can you shut up for a second, dude? Because you sound like an idiot. You're not literally at anything. Thanks for listening to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. You can check us out live every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern U.S. time on Rumble, Rockfin, and my Twitter/X at Gardner Goldsmith. You can also check out my Substack, the Gardner Goldsmith Substack. And thank you so much for believing in individual liberty.
This is Mark Edge with Free Talk Live. Mark Warden with PorcupineRealEstate.com is one of the best real estate agents I've ever worked with. I've been through about 24 real estate transactions in my life, and I feel like I know what I'm doing, but there's always the things that you don't know that you don't know. Mark Warden with PorcupineRealEstate.com found a problem with the house that I was buying that ultimately saved me $65,000. He's a consummate professional, holds his people to his own high standards, and I would unequivocally recommend him for any real estate purchase in New Hampshire. Don't sell yourself short. Contact PorcupineRealEstate.com.